From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. In Japan, officials say they have now established a no-fly zone covering a 20-mile radius around the Fukushima nuclear power plant. Officials say that's after a series of explosions and a fire that reportedly has reignited there. According to a ministry spokesman, the move is being taken as a precaution amid fears radioactive particles leaking from the stricken nuclear plant could possibly enter passing aircraft. As we hear from NPR's Richard Harris in Tokyo, only a small group of personnel remain at the plant.
The radiation levels at the plant were so high yesterday that they evacuated all but the absolutely most essential personnel. They left about 50 people behind, according to the utility. So this is a serious health concern, being exposed to this much radiation.
NPR's Richard Harris, the no-fly zone would not apply to helicopters that might be used to spray water over a reactor where a pool containing spent nuclear fuel rods is believed to be overheating. The House has passed another stopgap budget measure to prevent a government shutdown, but NPR's Audie Cornish reports lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say this should be the last.
54 Republicans joined Democrats in voting against the measure. Florida freshman Alan West is one of them.
It's a short-term measure that really doesn't get us anywhere. Like I said, with $6 billion, you know, we're spending $4 to $5 billion every day. So, the American people know we have to do better.
GOP leaders say the Democrat-controlled Senate has failed to approve a spending measure and that the negotiations with the White House haven't yielded any progress. Lawmakers are trying to compromise on a package of spending and cuts to cover the rest of the fiscal year, which ends in just a few months. In the meantime, this most recent bill will cut another $6 billion and give them until April 8th to strike a deal. Audie Cornish, NPR News, The Capitol.
The sounds of celebrating in the Libyan capital, Tripoli, where it's increasingly appearing. Forces loyal to leader Muammar Gaddafi are on the verge of victory against rebel forces. Gaddafi loyalists have slowly been regaining control of rebel strongholds, as we hear from NPR's David Green.
There are reports that the Gaddafi forces have made a lot of military progress in the east, pounding the city of Ajibia, and those reports seem to have reached the capital here in Tripoli. All evening long, there have been bursts of gunfire, also fireworks, and people seem to be celebrating. A lot of honking of horns on the road. There's a feeling here that the military is growing ever closer to a victory, and what a change from about 10 days ago when rebels moving in this direction were talking about taking the capital, taking the city, Tripoli.
Libya's government now says it expects to take control of all rebel-held territory within just a matter of days. On Wall Street today, stocks reacting to the situation in Japan. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 137 points today. The Nasdaq fell 33 points. The Standard & Poor's 500 was down 14 points. You're listening to NPR News in Washington. Even 5 days into the massive earthquake in Japan, there continue to be stories of people being pulled from the rubble alive. Rescue teams today found a 70-year-old woman in a home that had been swept from its foundation. The woman appeared to be suffering from hypothermia, but appeared to have no life-threatening injuries. Further down the coast, rescuers also pulled another survivor from a damaged building. The U.S. has sent ships to the region and plans to send others to the west coast of Africa due to the problem with radiation from that stricken nuclear plant and a huge debris field. A federal appeals court in San Francisco has ruled that jailers in Southern California were wrong to force a Muslim woman to remove her headscarf while in their custody. NPR's Ken Grigsby Bates has that story.
Suher Khatib was detained in a holding cell for several hours in 2006 after a judge ruled that she violated her probation on a misdemeanor welfare fraud conviction. During that time, jailers demanded that she remove her headscarf or hijab. Khatib's probation was reinstated later that day, and she was released. But in 2007, she sued because she said forcing her to remove her headscarf violated religious freedoms guaranteed by the U.S. government. A trial court judge dismissed the suit, as did a three-judge appeals panel. Both claimed holding cells are not venues where federal safeguards of religious freedoms apply. But on Tuesday, a full panel of the Ninth Circuit rejected that argument, which allows Suher Khatib's lawsuit to proceed. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.
Ohio Governor John Kasich has unveiled a plan aimed at boosting state aid to K-12 schools and colleges and universities. Kasich releasing a proposal today that seeks to close an $8 billion budget gap through a combination of restructuring, budget cuts, and privatization. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News, in Washington.